The addition of a new baby to the family can be an incredibly stressful and life-altering event. In a recent article, some parents have even reported the birth of their first child to be more stressful and lead to more unhappiness than unemployment, divorce, and even a death. I'm Dr. Jennifer Scheer, licensed clinical psychologist, and you're listening to Newbies. He's gorgeous.
It's a girl.
Surprise! The whole family's here.
So when are you having the next one?
It's just poop.
Ready for another?
Wow, you look really tired.
Ready to go back to work?
Yellow poop? Seriously?
Did you sterilize this?
Sex? Now? You've got to be joking.
You should sleep when the baby sleeps.
She doesn't look anything like you.
I thought you already had your baby.
I did.
Babies don't come with instructions, so there's Newbies, helping new moms and new babies through the first year. Welcome to Newbies, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Newbies is your online, on-the-go support group guiding new mothers through their baby's first year. I'm your host, Kristen Stratton. I'm a certified birth doula, postpartum doula, and owner of In-Due Season Doula Services, and also mother of three. If you haven't already, be sure to visit our website at newmommymedia.com and subscribe to our weekly newsletter. You can also subscribe to our show through iTunes so you'll automatically get new episodes when they're released. Sunny's here to tell us about other ways you can participate in our new show.
Yep. Hey, everybody. So Newbies has a Facebook account. We also have a Twitter account. So if you're on any of those social media platforms, be sure to like us and follow us. And we'll be posting some great articles we see online. And we'll be continuing some of the discussions that we start here when we're recording our episodes. So it's a great way to get involved. Also, if you want to become part of the show, there's a couple different ways you can do that. If you have questions about anything regarding new parenting and being a new mom and caring for a new baby, you can ask our experts questions, and you can go to our website, see a complete list of our experts, and submit your question through our website via email, or you can also call our voicemail, and we'll use it on the show. We'll actually have other people listen to it as well, and that way everyone can kind of benefit from the questions that you have. We also have a segment where we like to talk about the oops, the things that we do accidentally as new parents in the very beginning, those funny stories where you just, something you probably, you know, just hop on Facebook and tell everyone about because it's the funniest thing ever. We'd like to share those with our audience as well. So same thing, head on over to our website in the contact section and submit your stories that way and you can be part of our show. I'm a mommy of four children. My oldest just turned five, a boy. I have a three-year-old boy as well. And then I have twin girls who are now about 21 months old. Julie, tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Julie Schmidt. I am 55, so I'm a grandma. I am also a birth and postpartum doula. I have 10 kids. Yes, you heard me. 10 kids. We're balanced, though. There's five boys, five girls. The oldest is 33. Then the next one is 31, 29, 27, 19, two 16-year-olds, a 15-year-old, and twin 9-year-olds. I have worked also, prior to being a doula and a postpartum doula, I was a foster mom and worked with the county that I lived in at the time to mentor new foster parents. So probably in the course of the 20 years that I was a foster mom, we fostered about 75 to 85 kids.
Oh my goodness. Wow. So you've been a mom for a long time with a lot of babies.
Tomorrow's my anniversary.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah. And Jennifer, Dr. Scheer, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're a mama as well.
I am. I've got two boys, 9 and 4, and always mothering and enjoying the time when I'm with new moms in the office and dads and families and helping them to try to create some semblance of meaning and order as I do myself at home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, so before we kick things off today, we're going to talk about a news headline. We're talking about bringing your kids to work. There are apparently these baby at work policies is what they're calling it. And it's gaining momentum with new parents and employers. Now, this is kind of, everything's kind of focused right now on Washington State. There seems to be some big organizations in Washington State that are starting this, including the Washington State Department of Health, which is in Olympia. And they are allowing infants to come to work. And according to the article, there are currently 200 companies and organizations in the U.S. that now have some sort of babies at work policy. And so, as you can imagine, you know, it's really hard after you have a baby to go back into work and get in the swing of things, especially if you're breastfeeding. And so they basically come out and said, we support this and we're encouraging other people to do this. And they said the response has been, you know, very good. Some people are skeptical at first, but they also say in order for the program to continue, that you'd still have to have some rules. I mean, real quickly, I just want to go through some of these rules and then get your guys' feedback on what you think. Babies cannot be disruptive. The program is limited to babies who can't yet crawl, and they're kind of focusing on the 6 weeks to the 6-month-old time frame. So after mom and dad are back from maternity and paternity leave, everybody still needs to get their work done. Parents need to pre-plan for backup care, and that there should be a baby-free zone somewhere in the workplace. So what do you guys think about this? Is this a good idea?
I think in theory, it's a great idea, especially for nursing moms. I think that's one of the things that I hear a lot from our moms is that going back to work is just the last thing they're thinking about doing or wanting to do, especially at 6 weeks postpartum, because then the nursing developing nursing relationship can be interrupted. So being at work and being able to nurse baby on demand, that would be awesome. Now, babies not being disruptive is not possible. So
I know that. I was shocked. I was shocked when I read that. How are you supposed to adhere to that? It seemed like the whole program would
just shot right down.
Right.
Yeah. I'm almost wondering if they'd be better off putting their efforts into developing a telecommute program.
That's what I was thinking too. Yeah.
Because they're talking about special accommodations. So anytime we're talking about that, we're talking about equipment, changing space. And for smaller businesses, that might not be very practical, financially feasible. But if they can send a laptop home with somebody and have them, you know, call in for, you know, phone conferences and things like that, and maybe just come in for an hour or two here and there when they physically need to be. Right. I realize that's not universal for all jobs. But I feel like that might be time better spent, because as Julie said, there's no way your baby's going to not be disruptive. They cry because that's their only way to communicate what they need. And God forbid you have a colicky baby or something more, you know, challenging, because then I don't know exactly how you'd have the best of both worlds. So I think it needs some tweaking.
I agree with everything you're saying. You know, clearly we want the workplace to be as supportive as possible. But in some ways, I think it's a bit of a setup because, you know, new parents, especially moms who are primary caretakers, are absorbed completely in trying to learn their babies, read the cues, respond. Your own sense of identity is completely going under a complete overhaul. And to then put the demand of simultaneously having to work, be in a professional setting, and do this whole new role with your baby could be undue stress.
Right. Yeah. Kristen, I really like your idea of the telecommuting, you know, kind of role. And I think that's where we're going more as a society anyways. And like you said, there are some jobs, obviously, you know, my husband's a police officer. He can't telecommute, right? There are some things that you're just not going to be able to do. But I think for mom and baby, I think baby's going to feel more comfortable in their own environment, right? So doing something like that, I think makes a lot of sense. And I don't know. I wasn't very understanding before I had kids, honestly. And I know right now, you know, I primarily work from home as a mom. And so I know what it's like to constantly have your baby in your space, right? And try to do work. I'm not convinced that it's the best thing for the mom, you know, or dad to be productive in their job too. So not just, you know, everyone around you and how do they respond to it, but how are you actually able to accomplish this stuff? And yeah, I think we should extend maternity, paternity leave, do some other things like that maybe, then, you know, and take care of ourselves that way than bringing it all to the workplace.
Yeah, A for effort, but not
right.
Not
quite the solution.
Just not, a little off the mark.
Not there yet.
Missing right, the yeah. mark. Missing the mark. Yeah.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Today on Newbies, we're discussing the emotional state of new mothers. Does motherhood really make you happier? Joining us today is licensed clinical psychologist, Dr. Jennifer Scheer. Thanks so much for joining us, Dr. Scheer, and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
The article in the Washington Post cites a study of German families who reported feelings of substantial unhappiness following the birth of their first child, even more so than the unhappiness experienced by families who are undergoing a divorce, unemployment, even death. This sounds pretty alarming. Can you speak to some of the stressors experienced by new parents that could explain why this might be the case here in America?
Absolutely. You know, the thing that I find even more alarming than the study is the myth that continues to be, you know, to prevail really in our society, that pregnancy and first year of new parenthood should be so blissful. I think that is such an unrealistic expectation, an enormous pressure that contributes to some of the unhappiness. Pregnancy and first year of new parenthood, I see it as very often developmental crises. There's at probably no other time in your life as much profound intrapsychic reorganization and change as when you are needing to integrate your sense of yourself from who you were to who you are in these new roles. And I think that speaks to everyone, grandparents, you know, siblings who now have a new sibling member. Everyone has to make major readjustments, and you're doing that all together. There are clearly, you know, specific stressors that are universal, fatigue, sleep deprivation, hormonal and physiological changes, financial stressors. But again, the emotional work of really integrating a whole new sense of yourself and expanding, for moms particularly, a maternal identity into who you've been is tremendous, tremendous work.
What are some of the issues with our social structures which make parenthood such a challenge?
I think to piggyback on what we just said, the unrealistic expectation that you should be enjoying every minute, that this should be such a sense of feeling success and elated. I also think, you know, we have such a breakdown of community and extended family. There are lots of single parent families. The financial strains in terms of needing to work and balance work with caretaking and just not having that support.
What does a mother experience the first year postpartum that is uniquely stressful for her?
Many things. I'm going to talk more to the emotional and psychological issues, I think. Primarily, you're faced with your own attachment issues. A lot of stuff from your early attachment with your own mom gets triggered, comes out at that time. Your own issues with dependency and autonomy can just pop out unexpectedly. Also, when you have a newborn, you are empathizing with the level of dependency that this infant is experiencing. And that can trigger like a remembering context that is also often nonverbal. So your own feelings of how you were when you were dependent, simultaneously your own experience of your mother mothering you at that time, you are bombarded often unconsciously and in moment-to-moment frames of all of this like underground stuff. And at the same time, you are needing to manage your emotions while you are managing the needs of an infant. So you've got to balance those when you're pretty much under chronic stress.
And let's talk about partners too. What does a father or partner experience during the first year of parenthood that is uniquely stressful for him?
With fathers, if we're looking traditionally, a lot of self-esteem and identity, you know, gets invested in how to provide for the family, how to support the new mom. You know, I think nowadays there's a lot of negotiation going on between couples in terms of how to share both work and caregiving. And, you know, it's a reinvention. It's a whole new creative process that couples have to team up and align with. I would think also, you know, again, going back to what the mother has to experience in terms of identity and looking at what her experiences have been from being mothered, dads also. I think there's a lot of different expectations dads put on themselves now in terms of how involved, invested they want to be in the actual relationship and childcare, that, again, is unknown territory.
And I'd really love to hear from Julie, having worked with so many families over the years, what your experience has been.
Well, I think, I mean, everything Dr. Scher said is right on, as well as I've heard a lot of moms say they compare themselves to, let's say, Princess Catherine. And, you know, she walked out of the hospital looking photo op worthy. And most of us, that's not the case, you know. And so they feel bad about themselves, sadly, because they don't look like her. And there's so many other celebrities that, you know, present the same illusion that our moms are seeing.
That you should bounce back right away.
Yeah, like, bam, I'm going to look hot and sexy, and I kind of feel like, do you really want to? Because don't let me trust you. Trust me, you got milk leaking out of your boobs. It's the last thing you want to. But you know, so the comparing themselves to others, I think, is damaging. And they also have that supermom complex. This is, I think, uniquely American, where we feel like within, you know, 2 weeks we should be up and at 'em. You know, whether it was a belly birth or a vaginal birth. You know, it's like, get up, get going, you know, everything should be, all our ducks should be in a row. And not only do we feel that way, but it's almost expected. There's an expectation from those around us. I mean, I've heard grandma say, well, I just don't know why she's just not, I don't understand. I mean, the baby's 2 weeks old, for crying out loud, you know? And I think to myself, did you notice she can barely walk? She's still recovering. So, you know, those are the things that I see. And then not to mention, I mean, just the real physical aspects after giving birth of sleep deprivation. I'm sorry, I didn't feel like doing much of anything. I was so tired all the time. And, you know, I was recovering myself from a belly birth. So that required a lot from me physiologically that I wasn't, you know, necessarily aware of, but it was definitely happening. We don't feed ourselves well. We don't take care of ourselves well because we're taking care of someone else that needs us. So all those things, I think, play into that postpartum angst that happens during that first year. And for guys, I hear a lot of, she just doesn't pay that much attention to me anymore. And sometimes I feel like, you know, slapping them. But usually my response is, yeah, I'm sorry that you feel that way. It'll come. You know, it'll come. Things will turn around. And their expectations, father's expectations of their wives too, or partners, are sometimes really high because they too see the same media that we do. And they believe that their wife should, you know, already be doing everything that all the, you know, how come you don't have your figure back? It's been 2 weeks. How come, you know, you're not back at work? It's been 2 weeks. We need that paycheck. Hey. So I hear a lot of that.
And Dr. Scher, what are some of the ways that a family could mitigate the negative impacts of a new baby and experience more happiness and more stability?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think emotional preparation as well as logistical preparation is really important. I think, you know, clearly communication among the couple about what losses they're facing as they move into and transition into a whole new stage of life, and to really grieve it and be conscious of it and aware of it and enjoy the time pre-baby that they have, and create beautiful memories and frame it mentally so that when you get to the place where you're embracing this new family member, a lot of that, not all, but a lot of it has been made conscious and you've been able to move through. And then there's room. But any change involves loss, and that's hard. So the more couples can be realistic about what changes are about to happen and to accept them, make some tough decisions about changes they're going to make in their lifestyle to accommodate this. You know, a lot of issues around, you know, how to balance the work and family. And it, people are surprised at how they feel after they have a baby, you know. Sometimes what becomes most important to you is not something you could ever have imagined, you know, before having a family. Again, I want to emphasize sleep. Absolutely, the more support you get for your own self-care, the sleep, the exercise, the diet affects everything. And again, supporting each other in their new roles. That's really what I think the challenge is when you're as new parents. You really have got to see your partner and support them and admire them and encourage them as becoming a new mom and a new dad.
When we come back, we will continue our discussion about the challenges families face when bringing home a new baby. We'll be right back.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Dr. Jennifer Scheer all about a recent study in which families reported being more unhappy the first 2 years after birth than families experiencing divorce, unemployment, or even death. Dr. Scheer, how important is social support?
Oh, I don't think it can be emphasized enough. It is the crux of everything. You know, we need more hands to help out. We need the emotional support, and we also need support from community and extended family for the learning process of how to transition into these new roles and how to take care of a new life and sustain it and help it thrive.
And what do you recommend for a family experiencing extreme unhappiness following the addition of a new child?
I think it's really specific to what the sources of stress are. You know, it could be anything from attachment issues and bonding with the baby to financial strain to, you know, marital issues. It's so widespread. There's clearly just the cumulative stress of, you know, the moment-to-moment laborious task of caretaking in that first year. But in terms of families that are really struggling, a real assessment of what is the most burdensome, I think, is important before proceeding.
And what can family members do to support these new parents?
I think you can't underestimate how much just, you know, going to the grocery store and bringing in the food and just coming together and allowing new parents to adjust to the new responsibilities they have, the ability to let them focus on getting to know their baby, getting to know themselves in relation to this baby. So anything family members can do to take care of the housework, all the other external responsibilities, and really allow the new family to bond and kind of explore this. is crucial. And then again, you know, as the year goes on, I think it's really important for extended family to be able to support both mom and dad in their maternal identity, being a new dad, and really encourage and support them, and to recognize how sensitive new parents are to things that aren't even meant as criticisms, because they're constantly trying to learn, and as you mentioned before, they're comparing themselves to ideals that probably should not even be out there. So to really be sensitive to how parents are perceiving their own judgments and the insecurities that any thoughtful adults are going to carry around as they're trying to figure this out is really helpful.
And Julie, can you share some of your experiences with how you found families could pull together and help these new parents while they're adjusting?
Well, I know in our family, we have lots of aunts and cousins and uncles and then grandparents. So we tend to, when a child is born, try to gather the wagons, circle the wagons, if you will, around the new family and bring meals, just stop by if it's convenient for them, of course, and just stay there maybe for a couple hours, do some dishes, do a load of laundry, you know, do the things that have to be done, even though you have a new baby and you're not 100% feeling well, and encouraging them, just telling them what they're doing right. You know, just when you see what they're doing right, go, oh, wow, that's such a great latch. Or, when inevitably a baby boy, when they're changing their diaper and they pee on him, you go, oh, yeah, that happened to me a million times, you know. And so you just reinforce that what they're experiencing is normal and it's okay to feel sometimes overworked, overstressed, overburdened. But, you know, give them that the kudos, too, for what they are doing right.
And what could parents do prenatally to help prepare themselves and set themselves up for success?
Some of the stuff I think that we've touched on, definitely preparing for the transition, you know, trying to get as organized as possible ahead of time so that it gives you the freedom once you don't have that time anymore and the demands are on you, that you've already got some systems in place. I think, again, really talking through the changes that are about to occur, thinking through pragmatically how you're going to make alterations. And then, you know, the psychological piece of really mourning a lot of the changes that result in loss or compromise of, you know, your own autonomy, your current lifestyle, especially, you know, parents that are older, you've had a longer period of time to be used to a certain way of being. And there's enormous sacrifice in needing to surrender yourself to the needs of a newborn, no matter how much you adore this baby. It pulls on you in such a profound way.
And how about keeping that relationship strong between mom and dad or mom and partner? What are things we can do during that first year just to, you know, be happy and be strong together?
I think certainly understanding what each other's priorities are in the new role. I think it's real important for moms to understand where dad's self-esteem is coming from at that point. You know, if it's really about anxiety about providing and maintaining financial stability, they might be less available emotionally, but they're really doing this because they want to be good for their family, you know. So really understanding the intention of where it's coming from. And then I think for dads to understand, you know, moms have like, you know, they'll wake up right before the baby's cry to be available to respond immediately, and understand the pressure that a mom feels in terms of the timing of things, I think is huge. And I don't know, you know, that all partners experience it similarly. So that might help.
And how about you, Julie? Would you add anything to that list?
You know, talking, I put real talk. So being able to speak in real terms about what adding a baby is going to be like, or what they visualize it's going to be like prior to the birth, well, what their roles are going to be like and how they think it's going to play out. And then the reality of what's really going to happen, maybe having that same conversation or those same bullet points, if you will, discussing them with people who've been there, done that. And then they can say, yeah, that might work, but maybe not, because here's why, you know, or that worked for us, but this didn't. And just kind of giving them ideas and feedback of, you know, just how real some of that is going to be and how maybe it could or could not work in their lifestyle. And in terms of the dads and keeping the family strong, you know, I'm all about talking about your feelings and hopefully feeling safe enough to do so. And I think that's kind of one of the key components, is being able to feel safe and then saying, you know, this is what I'm feeling. I'm feeling a little overwhelmed, or I'm feeling underwhelmed by your help, or, you know, whatever, you know, whatever it is that's actually going on. And that's what I hear a lot too, is moms and dads both feeling like, I don't feel like I can really say this to her, or I can say this to him without maybe starting World War III, or at least starting a discussion that will be heated as opposed to calm and, you know, productive. So talking about it, but really feeling safe in doing so, I think is important.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Shear, and our lovely panelists, for chatting with us today. And for our Newbies Club members, our conversation will continue after the end of this show, as Dr. Shear will provide specific tips for self-care and resources for social support for our listeners who are maybe feeling socially isolated. For more information about the Newbies Club, please visit our website at newmommymedia.com.
Okay, so before we wrap up, we do have a comment for one of our listeners that I wanted to share with you guys. This comes from Veronica, and Veronica listens to many of the New Mommy Media shows, and she says, I have been an avid listener of yours for several years. When my husband and I were thinking about having children, I found Pregtastic, and for those of you who don't know, that was a show that I produced before I started New Mommy Media. So I found Pregtastic via iTunes and began downloading and listening to every episode, starting with the last and moving towards the first. When I became pregnant with twins last year, I was enjoying the early episodes of Pregtastic, and then at the end of my pregnancy, I was just finishing the very first episodes, wishing for more, and I found Twin Talks to my delight, and I discovered that you had become a twin mom yourself, and you were also on that podcast. And then from there, I began listening to The Boob Group, which is our breastfeeding show. She says, I only wish I had discovered New Mommy Media earlier in my pregnancy so I could have listened to Preggy Pals when it was relevant. And I wanted to share this with you guys because in launching our new show, Newbies, you know, we are just trying to provide the best quality content out there for new and expecting parents. And our goal is to create this community where, you know, people like Veronica can start with one of our shows and graduate, if you will, to some of the other shows out there. And we felt like we really needed a podcast like Newbies that picked up where our pregnancy show, Preggy Pals, left off and really just, you know, guides moms through that first year. And we're real proud of this show. Thank you guys so much for listening to some of our first episodes and just being there to support us. And Veronica, thanks so much for submitting this and letting us know that we're on the right track. We're doing the right thing. So thanks so much.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Newbies. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Preggy Pals, for expecting parents, Parent Savers for moms and dads with infants and toddlers, The Boob Group for moms who breastfeed, and Twin Talks for parents of multiples. Thanks for listening to Newbies, your go-to source for new moms and new babies.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating health care problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified health care provider.
New Mommy Media is expanding our lineup of shows for new and expecting parents. If you have an idea for a new series, or if you're a business or organization interested in joining our network of shows through a co-branded podcast, visit newmommymedia.com. Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.